previously on, but you're wrong.
And once you're married, I guess your balls and your dick just go away. So then you can just cross your legs completely. So then you can sit like a woman. But then he's like, no, it's, and then he realized what he said. And he was like, no, it's comfortable. It's surprisingly comfortable. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Backtrack.
No, I still got a dick. It's a big dick.
It's huge. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. They used to call me Johnny Horsecock, but now that I got married, they started calling me Bald Eagle. So, but I mean, that's a majestic burn.
A movie where he isn't smoking. I don't even know if there is.
I don't think he's smoking during the blueberry scene.
You know what? That might be it. That seriously might be like the only scene where he's not smoking a butt.
Or he, you know, I'm trying to remember. He might have been smoking in that, like right before.
Yeah, maybe.
Right before that movie.
Before he goes into the kitchen. It's crazy.
And do you have any idea how long that'll take?
So good.
Is that guy somebody? I feel like that guy's somebody.
I don't know.
Let's see.
Not that I know of.
I'm going to look that up. All right, I just pulled up. We're recording, by the way. But
okay.
I was just looking up the casino page. It made, so it was a budget of $52 million in 95. It made $116 million box office. If they did that today, I feel like they would be immediately trying to push through another casino movie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if it made back,
it did over, I mean it, money, yeah, it did over twice the business.
Yeah. Absolutely. Plus, I mean, I'm trying to think. It's also hard to say because the legend, I using the term kind of loosely, but the legend of De Niro / Pesci in those roles has only grown since then.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it would probably make even more money, because if that movie came out now, it would make, I think, way more than that. And not, you know, even adjusting for inflation.
Yeah.
I think it would make even more. Yeah. I mean, there would definitely be a casino 2. And probably 3. Which is terrible. Someday they'll remake it. Some asshole will remake it. They'll get, like, Mick G to direct it.
Oh.
And he'll take a completely reasonable topic, such as he did – not reasonable topic, but awesome topic like he did with the – what was the fucking Terminator Salvation? Because everyone always wanted to see the future war. Everyone was always – since the first one, they were like, I want to see the future stuff. And then you get Christian Bale and stuff, and then he just destroys it and he makes it terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the movie. I could not tell you what happens in it.
It's so bad. It's really boring. Like, I was talking about it with Dan earlier, and I'm like, how do you have a movie related to the Terminator franchise with Christian Bale playing John Connor, and I don't give a shit about his character? How is that possible? How could you make a movie so bad and so incoherent that I don't give a shit about his character whatsoever? It's crazy. Like, I am a wicked fucking fanboy. I should love that shit. But I don't.
Because it sucks.
Because it sucks? What a franchise that went down the drain.
It started off really good.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
And then just nothing.
No. Not for me.
Hang on, let me see if I can. I don't even know what to search for in this. Does the cook have a name? Maybe he's under cook. Nope. I'm trying to find out who the he, because I think he's just a character actor. The guy from the blueberry scene.
Google Casino Blueberries Cook.
All right, let's try that. Casino Blueberry Muffins Cook.
It's honestly, as stupid as it sounds, knowing what keywords to get to, what keywords to use to get exactly what you want in a search online, it's a little bit of an art.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not good. It's, I don't think it's giving me what I want, though.
Eh.
Yeah. No. Oh, well. What was I going to look up? Oh, yeah. Terminator. What the fuck? Salvation, right?
Salvation, yeah. What a piece of garbage. Just all around bad writing, bad directing. Just not good. I mean, motherfucking Sam Worthington. He switches in the movie between an American and a British accent. I mean, that is just poor fucking directing. There's no question about it. You know, he was in fucking Avatar. You never heard, you know, with James Cameron, you never heard any British accent coming out there. But then you get some shitty ass guy like McGee, and the guy can't even decide whether he's American or British.
I was looking to see try to remember what the plot is of Terminator Salvation.
It's very convoluted.
I don't even remember the beginning. It says in 2003, Dr. Serena Kogan, played by Helena Bonham Carter, don't remember her being in the movie at all.
I don't remember her being in the movie either.
Of Cyberdyne Systems, convinces death row inmate Marcus Wright, Sam Worthington, to sign over his body for medical research following his execution by lethal injection.
I vaguely remember.
I don't remember. Well, because you know what? I think the problem is everybody was just expecting it to be like
watchable.
The scene. Expect it to be exactly like the scene of the Terminator stepping on the skull and just
in from the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just that being amplified over 2 hours.
Right. And I mean, because that is one of the most iconic scenes in movies, or at least for the movies that the kind of movies that you and I watch, where you got fucking, you know, Reese going into the shelter there, the bunker, and the kids watching the TV with the fire in it, and then the Terminator comes in, and it's so cool. Like, you're just like, I want to see that movie. I've always thought that. As much as I love the first two Terminators, I'm like, where is that movie? Why haven't we gotten to see that one? And then they tried to make it, and it sucked all sorts of dicks.
You know what I think the other problem is? What's that?
Well, actually, there was Arnold. Never mind.
No, I was going to say, I think the problem is the music was by Danny Elfman.
Oh, was it?
Now, Danny Elfman... he's talented.
Yeah.
But I feel like he should only... I think he's really done for a certain type of movie.
You mean like a Tim Burton film?
Well, yeah, or something, just something a little more upbeat.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Well, I guess, like, okay, so he worked on Spider-Man. He worked on Men in Black 2.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense. Red Dragon.
Yeah, that doesn't make much sense.
Big Fish, Spider-Man 2, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Corpse Bride, Charlotte's Web, Meet the Robinsons.
Tim Burton.
Lots of Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of Tim Burton.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the thing is that his movies, despite whatever I think of them, are lighthearted for the most part and kind of right in Danny Elfman's wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, it's fine. I mean, something like the Simpsons theme, right? The Simpsons theme is iconic.
Yeah.
And a very well-written piece of music. And it's perfect for a goofy cartoon theme. It's awesome. But, you know, it's not epic and it's not serious. I put Danny Elfman in a different category where it needs to be something light and fun and not, you know, not drama filled.
Yeah. I feel like he's just not the, he wasn't the best choice for, Terminator Salvation.
And I mean, actually one of his better ones, if you think about it, was probably the Batman theme from the old movies.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
And that's a great theme, but even still, it's more, what's the word? Whimsical, almost.
Yeah. You know?
It's not, it doesn't, and it fits those movies because it's Tim Burton and everything was more, you know, light and goofy. But, you know, that's his bread and butter right there. I don't think a Terminator movie is not, it's not where he fits in.
Yeah.
Are we on the same page, Keith?
I think we are on the same page.
I think so too. Danny Elfman.
You know what? You know what's a really great movie though? The Expendables 2. So there's that.
Now, wait. I saw the first one. It was. I mean, it was stupid. The second one. Now the second one's not hasn't come out yet, right?
Yeah.
It has?
Yeah. It was in the box office. It's on DVD now.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's how I saw it. It's been on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital download since November 20th, 2012.
Really? Wow, yeah. I am that far behind. Well, I mean, it's like, I guess I can't really. I mean, who gives a shit? It's The Expendables 2. How was it?
Well, it was. It's exactly what you expect.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
They give, what's his fucking name? Arnold Schwarzenegger and Bruce Willis bigger roles.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
The acting is pretty shitty. It's like you're watching an action movie from the 80s, really.
Is Jason Statham in that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they bring in a woman into this one. I don't think a woman was in the last one, was she?
Not that I remember, no.
It's, so, the plot line essentially is, and I'm not ruining anything because it's incredibly predictable. They do a mission and they get out and that's how it opens up. And then they're at a bar. And Sylvester Stallone is talking to this young kid who, what, oh, it, hang on, it was somebody. It's actually somebody. It's Liam Hemsworth, Thor's brother.
Oh, okay.
He's been in a few things.
I can't think of his name.
That's right. He's in the Hunger Games and what is Thor? Chris? Yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
That's Thor. Yeah. The Hemsworths are the new Baldwins. Only
I hope for them that they have more than one talented person in the family.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm thinking Liam Hemsworth for the shitty role that he was given did a pretty good job. Cuz he's the guy that was like, you know, I joined this because I really wanted to be a part of something and you know, I was lost after I came back from the war. And you guys really helped me out, and I wanted to make some money, but there's this girl that I really love back home. And he says this, like, all in three sentences, sitting outside of a bar talking to Sylvester Stallone. And he's like, but I think after this mission, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, after the end of this month, I'm done. And you're just like, oh, God. Like, what's going to happen to this guy now?
Yeah, yeah. It was his last day on the job, and he got killed.
But the
he
twist
was just about to retire.
He's the young guy that's trying to get out of it because he's in love with a woman.
What an idiot.
So, Sylvester Stallone's like, that's all right, kid, I understand. And then...
I'm a big dummy, too.
And he's like, why don't you go and get yourself another beer, and I'll see you tomorrow. I got some brain damage that I gotta go take care of.
Remember Rocky V? I'm fucking retarded.
I gotta go see if Adrian's still waiting for me in the bedroom. I gotta go find that robot again. So he drives off.
The best part of Rocky IV?
Yes. So he drives off on his motorcycle. And that's when Bruce Willis shows up and he's like, listen, you owe me a favor. And like, God damn it. Like, this is what has to happen. And you got to go in. It's a simple mission, but you got to go do it. And they're like, you're like, oh shit, a simple mission. Bullshit. Like,
it's never simple with these idiots.
You get a plane crash. They got to go recover something. They're not going to tell you what it is. So you got to go in and do that. And then they got to put this other person on the team. So they do all this shit, and they get there, and they walk there, and the kid's, like, super fit, and he's, like, running up the hill, like, way faster than any of the old guys.
He's very eager.
Yeah, yeah, he's eager to please. He's an amazing sniper. And then they end up getting the whatever's in the security vault. I don't even remember, to be honest.
It doesn't really matter.
Actually, no, wait. I think I remember. And then Jean-Claude Van Damme comes in because he's in this one.
Yep.
He's the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
And he has taken the kid hostage.
Oh, boy.
And he wants what was in the case, and they give it to him. And they make him lay down on the other team lay down on the ground. And, you know, Van Damme's talking to the kid. And Van Damme looks awful.
How old is he now?
He's got to be like 100.
I love your lack of hyperbole.
He's definitely come a long way from when he did the split in his boxers in Time Cop.
All right, he's 52.
I was close.
Yeah.
I was really close.
All right, continue.
And he has his, like, right-hand man hold... By the way, he's playing a Russian villain.
Well, because, yeah. I mean, he can't actually be French. They're just not aggressive enough.
No. So he has his right-hand man hold up a giant knife to the kid's heart.
Yeah.
And then Jean-Claude does a spin kick and just kicks the knife into his heart.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so queer.
So the kid dies. They take off in a helicopter. And Sylvester Stallone is like, I'll avenge you, Billy. Cause he also, yeah. And then he also finds a note to the guy's girlfriend, like in his pocket. Like, I think the kid tells him right before he dies or something.
Yeah. Check in my pocket. He reaches in the pocket, and it was actually just that he cut a hole in between the pocket and his dick. His dick's in the pocket.
Hey, what am I supposed to do with this?
Just playing pocket pool. Stupid.
So he does that. And then they bury the kid like where they are, even though they have a plane, like they could bring the body back. They're just like, fuck it. We'll just bury the guy here in this random location in Russia.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, the family will be very happy about that, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then, like, at the little funeral, Stallone reads the note to everybody.
He reads the note that's to the girlfriend?
Yeah. And thankfully, the note is like... Like, my dearest love, I can't wait till we be together. I know these last few months have been hard. Like, I'm trying to be the best man that I can. And these guys have really taught me a lot and helped me out. And I can't wait to, like, be with you and start our, you know, our new lives together. Whatever, whatever.
It would have been better, though, if it was like, hey, can't wait till I get back. I really want to eat you out.
Hey, listen, I'm still going to be here, like, another month. So could you send me some, like, tit pics or something?
I want to see some pics. But, and, like,
can you print them out? Because sometimes I get cell reception. So I can't always download them. So if you could print them out and send them to me, like, I would, I would try to print them out myself. But, like, last time I was here, the little short Jet Li guy, he kept looking over my shoulder and just saying ridiculous stuff in Chinese. And I think he was talking about you, like he wanted to do some stuff in your butt. But, you know, I mean, I don't judge.
I was just going to say, and if when I get back, if we could try that anal that we talked about, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, we were in India. I picked up a copy of the Kama Sutra, and it's got some deleted scenes that didn't make it to the American version. Deleted scenes. So we're going to try.
It was cut from the final version.
We're going to try some shit out later.
Mm.
And then he signs it some really stupid nickname.
Buck Naked.
No, I was going to say, like, Love Schmoopy Whoopy or something like that.
Oh, Schmoopies, yeah.
And Sylvester says it right there. He's like, Love Always, Schmoopy Whoopy, P.S.
Love Teddy Bear.
Love you, Teddy Bear.
I'm fucking retarded.
And all the guys are, like, looking at each other.
And just, they're just kind of standing around. Just, yeah, okay.
That was a really fucked up note. Why'd you read that?
What the hell's wrong with you? Apparently you really do have brain damage, you fucking animal.
Did you tear this note open? He's like, hey, I thought you wanted me to read it. No, I think he just wanted you to send it to her. I think that's it.
Yeah.
It's even got a stamp on it. Just, I think you're just supposed to mail it
in the mailbox. Oh no, I don't want it to be sent to my girlfriend. I want fucking Sylvester Stallone to read it
to like to eight a other bunch guys.
Of fucking yeah. Guys, just a bunch of dudes hanging out. I want you to read my love note.
So they do that. So they swear vengeance. And then I'm trying to remember how they actually find him. Eventually they track him down. And I don't think they're supposed to go on the like the off the books mission, but they decide to.
Of course.
And they go to Russia and I don't think they're supposed to have any guns, so they have like a limited number. And then they find this little town that looks like that's abandoned. That's like an American street setup.
Okay.
And the last minute member addition of the team is a woman, is this Asian woman who's like works for the CIA or whatever. And she's like, oh, this is the towns that they had Russian spies practice in, like being American.
Mm-hmm.
So they're camping out there. And then all of a sudden, this Russian gang shows up. Because somehow they figured out that they were there.
Okay. Obviously.
Yeah, but it belongs. It's part of the same gang that Jean-Claude is part of. So they're taking them out, and somehow they kill a few, but they're still outgunned, like they're out of ammo. Sylvester Stallone does like one. He has one bullet left. He shoots one guy, and then they make it look like that guy shoots another guy who shoots another guy, and like it's this whole like Rube Goldberg machine kind of thing. But then they realize that they were saved by this guy named Booker, because Booker just like walks into town. Now, guess who Booker is?
Austin.
No, Chuck Norris.
Oh, okay.
Booker is Chuck Norris, and they're like, Booker, what are you doing here?
Yeah, what up, guy?
And he's like, I'm a lone wolf now. And I'm like, how the fuck did Booker suddenly find these guys? Like, all of a sudden, Booker just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, they're supposed to be as off the grid as they can. And, like, I think they got spotted by somebody who knew somebody for the Russian gang.
Hmm.
But somehow Chuck Norris is like, I'll come in and help. They're talking to Chuck Norris a little bit. And I think he does a couple, he makes a couple jokes about that involve old movies that he was in. Like that, yeah, the titles,
Delta Force and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm trying. There was another one. I'm trying to think of what they were, but then he's telling stories, and they were like, "I heard you died," and he goes, "Well, I was bitten by a cobra, the most venomous snake in the world. After 6 days of excruciating pain, the cobra died." And then they were like, and then, oh, they call him Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Oh, is that what they call him?
They were calling him like, they were like, "We thought you were Lone Wolf." And yeah, and then I think they said like Way of the Dragon or something too.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, he makes a Chuck Norris joke himself. Mm. So that was stupid.
It really
becomes just a movie where they shoot a lot of people and then they make jokes about other movies that they were in.
I mean, like, the idea sounds like it could be entertaining, but as far as, like, as a film, it just sounds worthless.
Yeah. Because then at the end, like, they find the guy, and they save all these people, because Jean-Claude is trying to steal 5 tons of plutonium that were buried after the Cold War ended. And, like, that was what, like, the location was what was in the vault.
Yeah.
He's transporting it all, but he's using slave labor from surrounding villages. And they save a bunch of villagers, and they're getting everybody out. I think Booker comes back, too.
Oh.
Yeah, somehow Booker finds them again, I think.
Yeah,
okay. Which, again, doesn't make any sense. So Booker finds them again, we'll say. And then they figure out, no. I'm sorry, Booker doesn't find him again. Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think, finds him when they, like, accidentally get buried alive.
Very nice.
Let's see. Church and Trench. Who the fuck is Trench? I don't know.
Someone stupid.
I don't know who Trench is. Bruce Willis and Arnold Schwarzenegger just show up, and they free the miners and the team. I don't know how they found them, but all of a sudden they were like, "Hey guys, we're here."
Yeah, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. Like, as long as you can kind of shoehorn someone else into a film.
Well, I mean, they were in the movie earlier, and it's not like they were just like, "What do you think? We weren't going to track you guys," or something like that.
Yeah. Even though they're supposed to be, like, masters at getting off the grid.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden they just kind of show up. And then they do this airport battle. There's lots of people dying, lots of shooting and all that shit. Chuck Norris is back and kills some more people. Jean-Claude Van Damme and Sylvester Stallone fight. I think Jean-Claude Van Damme dies in the end.
Yeah.
There's a nice part where Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone are shooting the bad guys and they're driving around. Arnold Schwarzenegger runs out of ammo and he's like, and Bruce Willis is like, "No, stay here. I'll be back." And he, like, drives away in, like, a little, you know, electric car and gets, like, more guns or whatever. But he says Arnold Schwarzenegger's line, and then later on Arnold Schwarzenegger is, like, shooting people and is like, "Yippee-ki-yay." And you're just like, oh, man, they're just shoehorning jokes in left and right at this point.
I get it.
So there's that, and then at the end, like, Booker decides not to be a lone wolf, and Stallone and the Asian lady might be getting together, and
it all sounds very important.
I don't know. And then at the end, the girlfriend of the young kid gets a box with money in it, and the notes on top.
Oh, the note yeah, to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite it being really weird.
And then it's just a box of money.
Excellent. Box of money.
I'm sure they're making a third one.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, did it make money?
Oh yeah, it made a shitload of money.
Yeah.
It cost $1 million. It made $312 million.
Yeah.
So let's see. Sequel. In March 2012, Couture said a third installment of the Expendables might begin production in late 2012 after the release of Expendables 2. In April 2012, Steven Seagal said he was offered a role in the third film.
Oh my god.
In August 2012, producer Avi Lerner confirmed that Nicolas Cage had been signed for the potential sequel.
Oh no.
He also said that the producers intended to bring back the series stars, attempting to have Rourke reprise his role, I guess from the first one, because he wasn't in the second one. I thought he died in the first one, though.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah. They had approached Clint Eastwood about a role and had plans to pursue Harrison Ford and approach Wesley Snipes after his release from prison.
Oh my god.
Stallone said, "We're thinking about different concepts. The third one is the hardest. The second is the natural progression. The third, that's when the air gets rare."
That's when the air gets rare?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Hey, Adrian, look, the third, that's when the air gets rare. There's no air. I don't know. I was up, and there was no air, and I stopped breathing. Caused brain damage.
Actually, it was Arnold. He fought it. It was really terrible. The air got rare. Was well, good.
It was pretty bad, but we're thinking ambitiously about it, so don't worry. you now have to give audiences something they don't expect at all. Maybe even going into a different genre. Hey, Adrian, we're gonna make a movie with the Expendables, but it's gonna be a romantic comedy.
Oh my god, how awesome would that be? And by awesome, I mean absolutely horrendous.
I think we're gonna get Steven Seagal, and me and him are gonna have a little meet cute. Like, we'll reach for the same book.
What?
A meet cute? Yeah, meet cute.
Okay.
That's what they call it when...
Is that like when, with the dogs with the spaghetti?
No, it's like before that.
But oh, okay.
Like when they like cutely meet, like if Sylvester and Seagal were like at Barnes & Noble and they were both like reaching for the same book.
Oh,
and then they started
okay.
like talking about it and he was like, "Hey, you want to go on a date?" Then, like, that would be their little meet cute because they met in a cute way. And then their relationship.
How do you feel about going to the grand round? You pay what you weigh. You want to get the little slider sundaes in the baseball cap.
You want me to get you like a coffee or something? You gotta order it for yourself because my memory isn't what it used to be.
I'm fucking retarded.
I mean, it was never that good to begin with, but
no, it was never good. But
yeah, no, they do a little meet cute, and then romance blooms from there. But then there's a big misunderstanding, and he's like, "Hey, Seagal, remember me? It's Rocky. Oh wait, shit, wrong movie. Who the fuck am I?"
Oh, it's Rambo. Oh, it's not Rambo. God damn it.
It's me. You know, we met when we reached for the same book. I thought yeah. Things were going well.
You know, really thought that, I get another chance to see you. You know, I really hope you return my calls. I kind of thought we had something here, but, you know, I just like to see you again.
Yeah, call me back. My number's oh shit. Hang on, let me find the paper that I wrote my number.
It's 1-800 steroids. I'm a freak.
Also in August, however, Norris said he would not return for a sequel. On August 13th, 2012, Van Damme indicated that Stallone might include him in The Expendables 3 as Claude Villian, brother of Jean Villian. Villain?
Oh.
I don't know. I think it's supposed to be villain.
Villain.
A play on villain.
Yeah, some sort of French thing.
Some sort of weird one. But his character name was Jean in this movie, but now in the third one he'll be Claude, brother of Jean. So in the romantic comedy, he's the other part of the love triangle. So maybe Seagal is with Claude Villain and they're together, but Claude Villain is a terrible boyfriend. And then Stallone and Seagal start talking on AIM.
Oh, definitely.
And they decide to meet. It's just a carbon copy.
There's just too much potential.
It's a carbon copy of You've Got Mail, just with the characters replaced by those three.
I could do it. I could get down with it.
I would so watch that movie.
Yeah, why not? Are you too good for that movie?
No, I just said I would totally watch.
Are you too good for that movie, Keith?
As long as Dave Chappelle is replaced by Wesley Snipes.
Hmm. Well, once he gets out of jail, he might be in it.
Yeah.
Which is definitely a great idea, so to speak.
Man, I'm gonna send this episode to Stallone and be like, listen, we got a great idea. I'm gonna have to cut out all the parts where we make fun of him. So hopefully never actually listens to the actual show. But
you mean the impersonations?
Yeah. But it'll be my pitch, and I'll be like, listen, for Expendables 3, I heard you might want to be going with a different genre. What about romantic comedy, You've Got Mail, but with a twist?
Yeah. It's gay. That's a good idea.
I would see that movie.
Oh, I would definitely see it. I mean, I don't think I'd like it. Well, no. All right, I probably like it.
Let's use the exact same script, too. So at the end, we get Steven Seagal being like, I was hoping it was you. And then they kiss.
Can you imagine the terrible makeout scene between Stallone and Seagal?
Oh, man, that would be so good.
Yeah, I mean, so to speak.
What's great is if we actually just replace everything and keep everything else the same, that means that there's a scene where Jean-Claude Van Damme talks about how great a typewriter is. And he's like, it's so great. It's so great.
What Jean-Claude Van Damme sound like. I don't know what the fuck kind of a voice you giving him.
I'm trying to think, because he's like Belgian French.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some sort of weird mix thing.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I could get crazy with that. I think.
Oh wait, there's more. On December 19th, 2012, Robert Urich's birthday. It was reported that Jackie Chan had agreed to join the sequel on the condition that he would have more than a minor role. In March 2013, Stallone confirmed he was writing a script for the sequel. Wait, he's writing the scripts? No wonder shit doesn't make sense.
Well, did he write the scripts for, like, Rocky and everything?
I don't know.
I don't know if he wrote the scripts. I mean, he did a lot. He directs a lot of his movies, which...
Well, he didn't direct this one.
Yeah. He probably shouldn't write them. I think...
Hang on. We'll look up his credits in a minute.
But, okay.
I lost it. There's one other piece. Oh. And that he intended for the film to be more humorous with moments of drama.
You say humorous?
Humorous.
Okay, good.
I think intentionally humorous.
Yeah.
Is what he's going for. Stallone also said that Seagal would not be in the film and that he wanted to cast more young actors in their mid-20s.
Oh, he wants to reach out to that younger crowd. You know?
You know what that means? We are definitely going to see the Twilight kid in there.
Oh, who is that? Zac Efron?
No, is but that... maybe we'll see him too.
Oh, Zac Efron wasn't in Twilight?
No.
Oh, damn it. I don't really know my team. Heartthrob.
Yeah, people. He's the fucking. But he's the fucking. Robert Pattinson.
Oh yeah, Robert Pattinson. Yeah, he went out with what's her face? Stupid there.
Kristen Stewart.
Yes. Yeah, Miss Boring.
Yeah. Just yeah. Miss always looks pissed off.
Yeah, it's just always just really bad attitude.
Yeah, we'll probably see him in there. Maybe we'll see, who'd you just say? Zac Efron?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably be in there.
Huh.
The werewolf guy from Twilight will probably be in there.
Yeah, I don't even know who he is. You know, they need to get, like, because all these guys are, like, big into, like, their action, they're kicking, they're shooting stuff. They need to get... If they want to keep up with the times, they need to get, like, a tech guy in there. They need to get someone that's going to, like, do, like, the hacking and stuff. You know, get, like, a Justin Long or something.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know. Even someone nerdy. Like, even, like, a fucking... He probably wouldn't even do it, but, like, Edward Norton or something. You know? Someone to play, like, kind of like the nerdy character.
Yeah. Yeah. Get I'm blanking on his name. The guy that played Zuckerberg in Social Network.
Oh, bloody cunt. I can't think of it.
Eisenberg?
Yeah.
I think it's I'm going to say Eisenberg. I'm going to say we get that guy.
Okay.
I mean, that would be pretty good.
I think it would be pretty good, too. I don't think it would be a problem.
You know what the thing is? They got to get young guys, but they got to get guys whose careers aren't really going anywhere.
What, so that they won't turn it down, or...?
Yeah, yeah. Because we got to keep it under budget. Robert Pattinson might be too expensive.
Okay.
We need, like, Macaulay Culkin. Or Hayden Christensen. Let's get him in there. He's not doing anything.
No, he's definitely not.
Get him in there. I'm sure we can find some young guys that aren't doing anything, or aren't doing anything too successful.
Yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty of shitty actors they could get.
Because I mean,
it has to be a good actor.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gonna get anybody from like the Avengers in there.
No, absolutely not.
So yeah, we need some guys whose careers aren't going anywhere.
Well, we'll work on it.
Stallone, call us or don't call us.
Yeah, send us an email.
Yeah, drop us a line and we'll work on this for you. We got some good ideas. If you want to go young actors, we can put something together. If you want to go romantic comedy, we also have an idea.
Yeah, it'd be up with the times, which your stuff usually isn't.
We can also even rewrite the script a little bit for Twitter. We'll call it You've Got Tweet. You've Got Mention. Yeah, You've Got Mention.
You've Got Mention. Well, don't make it too grammatically incorrect.
You've Been Mentioned?
You've Been Mentioned.
Yeah. Nah. it's You've Been Mentioned.
You've Been Mentioned. This sounds so stupid.
What's the movie poster for You've Got Mail? Because I want to see if I can recreate it.
Well, it's definitely got the stupid mail logo on it. Hold on.
Oh, I can totally recreate this.
You've Got Mail. Oh, that's easy.
Oh, this is totally getting done.
Meg Ryan has a big mouth. And not even in the way she talks a lot. She just got a big mouth. You fit like 3 dicks in there.
I mean, of varying sizes, but...
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't all be huge. But if it was like me, a guy with a big dick, and you, we'd probably be all right.
Yeah. Asshole. I'm gonna work on this. Although I'm currently working on trying to do for the YouTube page a video for the for your rants on 5-Hour Energy and coffee.
Oh yeah.
And I'm trying to do a mashup of Benny Hill and Roger Moore Bond.
Really?
To the Benny Hill music. Yeah, there's some ridiculous stuff in there.
Sounds kind of awesome.
So wait, who do I have to put in this one? I just got to put Stallone, and then who did we say McRyan was? Steven Seagal?
Yes.
Okay. But wait, now Steven Seagal isn't in the movie.
Oh. Well, then who would be who would it be the funniest as the
Jackie Chan?
Jackie Chan or maybe Arnold.
I don't know. I mean, I might just do Steven Seagal
honestly, I think the Seagal pot is the best is better.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna stick with that.
Hey, plus, he's got the ponytail.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be honest though. You've Got Mail. It's a pretty good movie.
I mean, for what it is, it's good.
I mean, it is kind of like a copy of Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, you know what? You can't complain too much.
My fiance really likes it. So
it is what it is.
I've seen it several times.
You've seen it several times?
Yeah, because she wants to watch it. It's one of her favorite movies.
That's cute.
So I've seen it several times more. I probably see it at least once a year for the past, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
More so than I did before. And I'm always like, you know what? This is better than I used to give it credit for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it once.
I think I saw it once, and then since then, I've seen the whole thing probably like 5 times. And then if it's on TV, she'll stop and watch it.
Yeah.
And I'll watch parts of it, and I'll be like, you know what? It's pretty good. It's well done, too.
Yeah.
But,
It's not really, I don't know, the whole, they tried to, like, be topical with the whole AOL email thing.
And now it's just extremely dated.
It's very dated because kids don't know what the hell AOL is anymore.
Yeah.
But
and it didn't take that long for it to become dated.
No, it was very quick. AOL was kind of a fad.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone had it for a while. Everyone had AOL. Like, that was the thing to do. And then it went away very quick.
Yeah. I mean, You've Got Mail came out in 98.
Yeah.
So we're 15 years away from it. And people don't even know what You've Got Mail is anymore, like what that means. Like, they don't know that it has anything to do with AOL.
It's weird. Like, not only did AOL decrease in popularity, but it just fell off the map of everyone's consciousness.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, it used to be great for so many things, like email, pedophile chat rooms.
Oh, the chat rooms, yeah.
Frisbees. The discs were a great use for frisbees.
Well, those discs, like the 100 free hours of AOL.
Yeah.
60 hours of AOL.
Have you seen, like, the AOL commercial from the, like, 90s? From, like, the early 90s when it first came out?
I don't know.
I think it's from 95.
I mean, I'm sure I saw it back then.
So, as I recall, and I'll put it up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/butyourewrong, and I'll be on there and post it on Twitter. And but it's just the guy casually walks into this guy's office, and he's on one of those old, you know, kind of grayish, beigeish monitored computers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what color it was. But it was just, you know.
Yeah, it was like halfway in between white and brown.
Yeah. And you thought as it would get dirty, it would get browner, but it just kind of got grayer.
Yeah. And you didn't even really know how it happened.
Yeah. Like, you thought it was dust, but it turns out it wasn't. It was something else.
Yeah, it just, the face, the plastic on the computer just kind of absorbed the grossness of the air that you lived in.
Yeah.
It was weird.
But he's on one of those, and the guy's like, oh, are you ready for the game? Hang on, let me just finish up with my kayaking buddies. And the guy's like, kayaking buddies? And he's like, yeah, I just got this great thing called AOL, America Online. And I was on this chat room and I found these kayaking buddies. I really think it's like a gay swingers club, but
yeah, it's definitely like kayaking is like a euphemism for
like maybe for skiing.
For going skiing.
Maybe that was 95 term for going skiing.
Yeah, or just I don't know, just licking asses.
Maybe.
I go on kayaking.
Yeah. I love how you reached back. You were like, let me see what I can come up with for kayaking and licking asses. That's what I got.
I mean, that's it. It doesn't even have to be, it's not even creative. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. But as I recall, the guy's like, the guy who came over to this other guy's house is like, oh, I came here to tell you I can't go to the game. I got too much to do. And the guy's like, well, what do you have to do? And he's like, well, I got to help my daughter with this book report on cats. I don't remember. But like cats, and I got to buy plane tickets to somewhere, and I got to do something else. And he's like, we can do it all from right here.
Oh, yeah, you do it online.
Yeah, and there was the box that was like shopping and, you know, like encyclopedia, and you could click on the different little AOL boxes, and he does it all in the commercial, and the guy's like, that's amazing. What is this again? And he's like, it's America Online. I'm going to have to try this.
Oh, man, I got to check out that commercial. Sounds great. I feel like I saw it. I'm sure I saw it at some point. But
and then they come up with the little like things on the screens, and they're like, easy to chop, easy to use, like simple user interface.
You get the kids only with the parental settings.
Yeah, but it's great because they advertise like all the. Because really, if you think about it, each of those little bars that you could click on was like an app, almost.
Yeah.
Because it would like take you into like National Geographic or like
Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah,
exactly. Shit like that. So like you would click on it, and that's how you would get to there. And then like later on, they were like, "Oh, we should explain to people that this is just a really simple way of going to www. Dot."
Right.
Yeah.
And like I don't think when we were young we actually realized how the internet worked, because I thought that the internet was America Online. Like I
didn't,
like you didn't realize that the internet existed outside of AOL, and then like the first time that you were like, wait a second, I can just, once I'm signed on, I can just open up Internet Explorer and go to websites. Like it were like, and you just go wherever you want. You don't have to go to that AOL screen or anything.
Yeah.
You don't have to look at the kids only section.
I can search for other stuff.
Yeah.
And then life was never the same.
No, and then you just started becoming an absolute deviant. You know.
Yeah, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, I mean, you just became a much worse person.
And then really, I mean, that's, you started having online affairs, which is basically, truth be told, the plot to You've Got Mail.
Right.
That's my one problem with that movie and all the other romantic comedies. Because really, it's just a bunch of people having affairs and you're rooting for them to have an affair. Like, granted, the other person that they're with is a bad relationship. Like, they're in a bad relationship, and then they like this other person. But really, they usually end up having an affair, and then they dump this other person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're being a little disingenuous to their current boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever.
It's a very fine line that we're going to have Stallone and Seagal walk.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they can do it. They're both very talented actors, and it'll be all right.
Oh yeah, they're extremely talented.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So we never got to what did Sylvester Stallone write? Oh, he wrote a lot of movies.
Yeah, I mean, I know he directed a lot of movies, but
hey, yo, Adrian, I'm a good writer too.
I can do other things than just punch people in the face.
Let's see. Writer. He wrote 25 things.
What?
He wrote The Lords of Flatbush. He wrote Rocky.
Okay.
Fist, which is an acronym for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't easily tell me what FIST stands for, so fuck that. Paradise Alley, Rocky 2, Rocky 3, First Blood, Staying Alive, Rhinestone, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Rocky 4, Cobra, Over the Top, Rambo 3, Rocky 5, Cliffhanger. You wrote Cliffhanger? All right. Driven, Rocky... hang on. I was going to say he wrote Rocky Legends, but that's a video game, and he just gets credit for the characters. He wrote a TV movie called Father Lefty.
Father Left. Okay.
Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Rambo, The Expendables 2, and then an upcoming script called Homefront.
All right. Well, he has written some good things.
I will say, I imagine that he wrote all of them with somebody, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. But nevertheless... I mean, there's still a little bit of a talent there.
Let's see. Rocky 2. Rocky 2, it's credited as just him. Although I wouldn't be surprised if a script doctor came in on that one.
Yeah.
Because, like, to get credit, you have to write a certain amount.
Right.
Of it. So they can bring people in that did, like, punch it up a little bit. And if the final product is, like, 25% of their thing, then they have to...
give him credit.
Yeah. I like how he wrote and directed Staying Alive.
Yeah. That's weird.
That's very strange. I don't think I realized.
I didn't see that coming.
I forget that movie exists.
Yeah, I think that most people do.
Wow. This person on IMDb, though, gave it... 10 out of 10 stars, and it's called, and the title of it is One of the Most Misunderstood Movies Ever Made.
Really?
Yeah.
10 out of 10? I mean, you're saying basically it's flawless?
I guess so. If you love dance, you will love this film. Stallone uses his camera extremely well to capture the nuances of dance itself. There is one very strong sequence in which Tony and his on-again-off-again girlfriend practice for a Broadway musical that takes up about 12 minutes and is just exhilarating.
All right, yeah.
The story is also very good here. Tony is now a professional dance instructor in Manhattan, who has a chance to get a part in the hottest new Broadway musical out there, Satan's Alley. Tony finds himself torn between two women, and Stallone asks a lot of tough questions about relationships here that a harebrained movie wouldn't even touch.
Okay.
The music by the Bee Gees and Frank Stallone is excellent and fulfills the same purpose music did in the original. Staying Alive probably won't ever receive the recognition it deserves. For those of you wondering, I am not being paid by Paramount to say this. My opinions can't and never will be bought. I generally feel that this is an exceptional film and that it deserves better than it has received over the years. What's great is that he ends his review. Keep in mind he gave it 10 out of 10. He ends the review by giving it 4 out of 4 stars.
Wow. What an idiot.
I have a feeling Stallone wrote this himself.
Stallone asks a lot of tough questions in this movie. He is a genius. Hey, yeah, yo, Adrian, how you spell genius? I forgot.
Yeah, I think they might be using the term genius a little liberally.
What's also weird is that 60 out of 90 people found this review helpful.
Really? Two-thirds? I don't know about that.
So, anyway, I don't think we accomplished anything.
No, we didn't accomplish anything.
No, we so didn't. But in the end, you know what? Go see Casino. The Expendables 2 is exactly what you would expect. So, I mean, if you expect a lot of people dying and getting shot, then it's probably worth seeing.
Yeah, well, it's right up your alley. This has been But You're Wrong. I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Bordello.
Remember, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Check us out on the Twitter at BYW Podcast. And check us out on YouTube at BYW Podcast. Check out Keith's books on the Amazon Marketplace, Not My Problem, and Work in Progress. And make sure you tune in every Wednesday and Saturday for new episodes of our podcast.
And subscribe on iTunes to make sure you don't miss one.
Exactly. Make sure you subscribe, because if you don't, we'll have someone break your legs, right?
Maybe Stallone.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Remember, everyone, no regrets. And Sylvester Stallone, sexiest man alive.
That works.